Blog Talk Radio.
Girlfriend, where he took the life of his girlfriend
and then took the life of himself, leaving his 3-month-old child daughter behind, actually. I read into it a little bit, and I don't think it gives too much reasoning behind the young player doing this heinous act to his girlfriend and himself. But nonetheless, it's a tragedy, and hopefully we can actually prevent, you know, situations and things like this to occur, giving people positive insight, knowledge about relationships and love and how to conduct themselves in relationships and conduct themselves in, you know, respectful, loving, responsible relationships. Even with not just relationships with, you know, other people, but relationships with themselves as well. Actually, hard a lot of times for people to actually have successful relationships and relationships a lot of times can cause, you know, love crimes or hate crimes, or it can, you know, allow people or make people do things that they probably never thought that they would do, you know, ever in their whole, you know, existing. You know, love can drive people to do, you know, very crazy things, and hate can drive people to do very, very crazy things. How many people that are listening out there has been driven unwillingly to get very upset at their spouse, their husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend? You know, some people call in and let us know, like, you know, certain things that could that you could imagine yourself not necessarily harming someone to the point of death, but, you know, getting upset to the point where, you know, you can't control, you know, the things that may come out of your mouth or your actions, and pushes you to a limit where you thought that you would never push yourself to, on a normal, you know, in a normal situation. But because of the type of relationship that you're in, it actually allowed you to do something that you would not have necessarily, you know, done in any other situation or circumstance. Personally, you know, growing up, I'm 32 years old. I've roughly had about, you know, 2 to 3 real relationships, you know, that lasted longer than 6 months to a year. And, you know, some of them were good. Others weren't, you know, was bad. And me personally, in relationships, you know, sometimes I was pushed in a level of anger that allowed me to do things that I probably thought that I would never do. Not necessarily hit a female. I've never done that before, but may have said things that I probably said that I would have never said. You know, argued about things that I probably said I would have never argued about. You know, name calling or even feeling a certain type of way that I thought that I would never feel. It can be very challenging being in relationships that are unhealthy, which allows people to become necessarily victims. And sad to say that there are a lot more than we think of, you know, domestic violence going on in the world. I haven't done any statistics on anything, but just hearing about so many domestic violences occurring in people's situations and in relationships, and just imagine how many guys and how many girls or men and women that are in jail because of domestic violence. Imagine how many people that aren't in jail that are in domestic violence relationships. And a lot of times people think that it's always the man that actually is the one doing causing the harm. But a lot of times it's females as well. Men can also be victims. And you know, domestic violence. Then you have to ask yourself, is this love in any type of way? When people, you know, being these type of relationships, do they truly love each other? Would love allow someone to do this to somebody? Would love allow you to hurt someone? Can you build relationships off of hate? What can actually cause certain things to come about, which would allow me to want to harm you, physically harm you, to the point where I feel as though I would want to kill you. I would want to end your life and end my life as well. I can only imagine. I can't necessarily put myself in the shoes of someone who's actually has taken a life of a loved one because of the deep love that they have for them or half of themselves, or, you know, get to the point where they're hurt so bad that they feel as though they can't live anymore, or the person that they're with can't live. I'm quite sure everybody has heard of the story of Romeo and Juliet, where it was allegedly written by Shakespeare, and it's actually a tragedy, a play tragedy, where a young woman and a young man fall in love from basically two different families that do not get along, and they fall in love with each other, and they love each other to the point of taking their own lives, since they couldn't be together in this world. They felt as though they can be together in the next world. So is death an option for some people? Do relationships only last in this world? Some people actually believe in a lot of love stories, and you know, in these stories you hear of how they believe and they feel as though that their love is going to extend past this life and into the life after. What are some people's views on this? How do people view relationships? And how can people become victims of relationships? There's so many things that you can actually question, and so many things can come into play when you're dealing with relationships. What's the definition of a healthy relationship? What's the definition of a relationship that's unhealthy? What does it take to have a good relationship? what lacks to make the relationship unhealthy? You know, so many questions that actually come about. And since this is a religious-based show, can religion be a factor in a relationship working? Can it also be a factor in the relationship failing? What are some of the factors that religion plays in relationships? Certain type of religions, the Hindu religion. One of the girlfriends that I was actually that I mentioned earlier, I was actually in a relationship with a young lady who was Hindu. Her belief, her customs, everything was coming from Hinduism, and her family actually followed the tradition of arranged marriages, and she it was basically a crime for her to be dating someone outside of her race, let alone her religion, and she was totally against arranged marriage. She rebelled against it. I guess that's why she was dating me, but she rebelled against it. And she always felt as though that someone can't force love on her. Someone can't force her to be in a relationship. Which made her rebel. And I'm quite sure there are a lot of women and men that are in those type of cultures and religion that allows them to have arranged marriages, and they're totally against it, and they totally don't accept it to be, a good thing on their behalf, which can lead to an unhealthy relationship, which can lead to someone being a victim of domestic violence, which can lead to so many other things. But on the other hand, it can be a good thing. She had cousins and other family members and friends who actually, whose parents arranged marriages for her friends or family, and I'm a witness to the testimonies that they actually have. I heard them say that their marriage was good. I don't necessarily know how good their marriage was. I wasn't in a relationship, but from what they told me, that their marriage worked out. The arranged marriage was very good for them. It was the best thing that they've actually experienced, and they wouldn't have it any other way. Some people believe that it doesn't necessarily have to take love to be with somebody. It doesn't have to be a feeling or emotional thing to allow you to get married or make you get married. It's an understanding, an agreement. So with that being said, it can work for some people. But how about all of the other people that it doesn't work for? The people that don't necessarily agree with getting married because we had a kid before we got married. The Bible talks about, specifically, Paul talks about how he doesn't necessarily take, in his own words, he doesn't necessarily take marriage for himself or thinks that anybody should, be married, but he actually condones it for the sake of someone falling to the temptation of, sexual immorality, which is having sex before they're married. which is called fornication in the Bible. And a lot of people, Christians at that, all different sects of Christianity, actually get married because either they can't control their sexual impulses and they would like to have sex, and in order to have sex, they feel as though they should be married, or the guilt of having sex would be, you know, on them, which would make them feel as though they're disrespecting themselves and God. So they get married for that reason, or someone has a kid before they get married and they get married for that reason because of the kid's sake. Or a lot of people in church would probably want to get married because they feel as though it's the thing to do. You know, so in order for me to be, you know, a pastor or to be a deacon or a preacher or to be, you know, an upright man in the church, it's best that I get married so I won't be put in any of those type of temptations. And that's why a lot of people get married. But a lot of times, does that cause good marriages? Does that cause bad marriages? I know some people personally where their marriages are okay, and they got married for those reasons. And then I know some other people whose marriages aren't okay, that led in divorce because of those reasons. A lot of times divorces aren't, you know, peachy and creamy. A lot of times they end very, very, you know, uncordial, and it gets very messy. And this can be, this can definitely be a situation where you can be a victim of relationship crimes or abuse or physical or verbally. There's so many scenarios that you can that can come from someone being a victim of a relationship. Infidelity, a lot of times that causes people to be a victim of a relationship, where because I am not faithful to you, or my spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend isn't faithful to me, in some cases it's called crime of passion, where someone doesn't necessarily think or function correctly. At a very instant, in a very moment, they become psychotic and they step out of themselves, and they become irate, and they become very, very compulsive, and they do things without even thinking about it. What I mean by without thinking about it, it's not premeditated. It's not something that they thought about. This person, you know, they've been catching their spouse or spying on their spouse, and their spouse had been cheating for a very long time, but they didn't know. And then they actually find their spouse one day in a bed with someone else, or you know, just with someone else, showing the same type of affection with someone else that they do with, you know, you per se. And in an instant, they flip and can cause harm to their spouse or the person that they're with. Relationships can be very, very awesome. And again, relationships can end like this incident that happened on yesterday with the Kansas City Chief linebacker. Like I said, I don't necessarily know what abrupted this situation to happen. But nevertheless, it happened. And, you know, we just would like to prevent, you know, terrible ordeals to come to this level, where a relationship can lead to the death of not only one person, but two people. And then to leave a young child behind with both parents gone from domestic violence and victims of relationships. So if anybody's out there listening, give a call. Tell us your story and tell us a story you heard of. Tell us some solutions that may prevent people from causing harm to the one they're in a relationship with. Give us some more reasons why you think people cause harm to people that they're in a relationship with. Let's talk about if religion can be the glue to keep someone together positively, or is religion a vice to give people negative fuel to allow them to become a victim or to be the one causing the harm on someone else. Let's hear. Let's find out what people are thinking of, thinking about. I always say, like I'm on the show, there's not too much that I can say by myself. You know, I am DA, so I'm a whole lot more interesting when I have somebody to, you know, come back and forth with, or just to have that open discussion and open dialect. It leads me to ask and answer more questions to make the conversation a little bit more interesting. Yeah, just call in tonight. Let us know what your views are. Let us know what you're thinking, how you're thinking. You know, it's a shame that situations like this can be so tragic, and something as beautiful as a relationship between two people, something that has love in it, can turn around and stab you in the back, or turn around and, you know, turn into hate. I want to know what can drive somebody in that direction. I want to know if it's individuals all the time. Is it parents? You know, a lot of times parents can be the reason why relationships don't necessarily work, and can allow people to be very violent. It can allow people to be, you know, very negative in the way of communicating. I know the Bible, paraphrasing, but the Bible talks about how, you know, a man should leave his mother and father and, you know, cling to his wife, vice versa with the woman. A lot of times the children don't do that. They still have that hold with their parent, and because of that, it allows the child's relationship with their spouse or their girlfriend or boyfriend not to grow, because the parent always has their input in a relationship. A lot of times that could be a very bad thing. A lot of times it could be a good thing, depending on how much control the parent has within the relationship. It's interesting to see how parents interact with their children in relationships. Me personally, my parent, I actually took it seriously when I don't necessarily allow my parents to interact in my relationship in that sense. Actually, my mother doesn't even like that, to be honest. She was one who always believed that, you know, she should stay out of her kids' relationships. She can give advice, but she gives advice from the outside of the relationship opposed to giving advice from the inside of the relationship. My decisions, the choices that I make from within my relationship are my choices, not necessarily my parents making the decision and choice for me. My parents always, you know, gave me and my siblings that type of freedom where she can be a mother, my father can be a father, and give insight and give advice from a distance, not necessarily judging my relationship or dictating my relationship or allowing me to feel bad or you know, if anything, my parents always condone from afar, which I think made it very, very healthy for me. Like I said, I'm a huge advocate, you know, for relationships and marriage, and I think it's an awesome thing to have, a very, very awesome thing to have. I love being married. I love being in a relationship. It's awesome. I mean, it's like the best thing has ever happened to me, and it's maybe because of, you know, all of the factors. I chose for the right reason. I believe that that I got into a relationship for the right reason. My mother and my father aren't dictators in my relationship. They keep their distance, but still yet, you know, embark wisdom and they have already, you know, and instilled good qualities in me to allow me to make, you know, better choices and learn from my mistakes. But they leave it up to me to do so. And I think, you know, all of those factors that my parents installed and just me being who I am and my wife being who she is, I think allowed me to have a great, 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 great relationship. There's not anybody that I know personally, I think, that has a better relationship than me. My relationship is awesome. Very awesome. And I hope that, you know, it continues to be awesome until I leave here or my wife leaves here. I don't ever want to be, you know, the victim of a relationship or my wife become a victim of a relationship through domestic violence. I can't imagine putting my hands on my wife, and I can't even see my wife even imagine doing that to me as well. With that being said, like I said, I hope to have many years of success in my relationship, and I wish that on everyone who is trying to have a successful relationship. Because if you do it right, it's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. I always say, a marriage is the principal thing. But the rules is, or the rules are what you make them. So what that basically means is marriage is a thing that you should look forward to do if that's what you want to do. Not necessarily saying it's the right thing to do, it's the wrong thing to do. You don't base it on anything. You base it on your own personal preference. If marriage is something that can work for you, don't get married. If you believe that marriage is something that can work for you, get married. And that's the principal idea of it. The principal idea is to be with someone who you could spend the rest of your life with. I don't believe that there are any set rules for marriage. The rules come with the individuals who are actually in the marriage. I believe that's why my marriage has worked this far. You know, I'm still young. We are still a early couple, but it's been working this far. Really has been working this far, and I believe because we have the understanding of we don't go into this with rules above us. You know, some type of invisible authoritative rule. We go in this and we make the rules for ourselves, what works for us. And what works for us may not necessarily work for the next couple down the street. That's why I don't believe that there are any set rules. My saying again is marriage is the principal thing, but the couple are the ones who set the rules. I think by doing that, you know, you can obtain success in your relationship. 5 years down the line, if that's not working anymore, then hopefully I can find something else that actually works. I don't necessarily think that it won't work. I think it's going to continue to work, but hey, you never know, you know. You don't know what the future may bring. I'm just going off of, the high probability that it would work because it's working now and it has been working. I've been in relationships where rules were actually set, prior to it was these commandments over me and a girlfriend that I may have had. And, you know, these rules set up over our head, these authoritative rules that we try to live by. But because we're human beings, people cannot successfully live by these make-believe rules that that are set in stone. It usually doesn't work that way. Somebody's going to break them eventually. So then what happens? A lot of times what happens is arguments. Arguments turn into worse arguments. Worse arguments turn into more, a lot worse arguments, and which can lead into domestic violence, physically, or mentally, or verbally. And I'm speaking from experience. I've been in those type of situations, and I said, growing up and coming to an understanding now. The saying that I said earlier, it works. It works for me. It's been working, and like I said, I see it working years on and years on, years on end. I shared it with a couple of people. I'm not necessarily the only person that lives by that type of, principle. Some good friends of mine who are married live by that principle as well. I talk to, people that are older than me, people that have been married a lot longer than I have. And when I shared that with them, they thought it was a very, very wise thing for someone so young to say. But again, not everybody's going to be, that way. With what works for me, but I just wonder, what type of laws or what type of rules or what type of conditions are people putting themselves in to allow them to be victims in relationships, whether it's domestically, whether it's verbally or mentally. you ask yourself, how can someone be mentally abused? Well, being in a situation where you actually feel as though you're trapped. The person isn't necessarily abusing you verbally or physically, but because this relationship isn't something that you necessarily wanted, or you didn't see it long term, or, you know, whatever the case at that matter, you feel trapped. And when you feel trapped, it sometimes becomes, you know, a mental struggle that you have with yourself. And, you know, you fight yourself mentally, in your head, in your thoughts, in your mind. And it may cause you to lash out. It may cause you... hold on 1 second. We have a caller calling in. Hello, caller.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? New York. Hi, sir.
How you feeling tonight, sir?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
Good.
I don't know how far you got into the topic listening, but we're talking about victims of relationships. Did you want to share something about topic?
Yeah, just looking at the title tonight and watching sports today, acknowledging that the young man that, you know, murdered his baby mother and then killed himself. A lot of times you don't know what's going on in people's minds. A lot of times you don't understand the reasonings for the actions. A lot of us jump quick to say, hey, he had no business doing that. And I even agree, come on, who kills someone else and themselves? There has to be another way or another circumstance, or someone has to present to them there's another option before you have to take it this far.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships itself can be stressful. We could just look at that picture alone. Did he really hate his baby mother? Was us men today sometimes is not ready to be a father, not because of, oh, I'm really scared to be a father because I'm not ready for this type of ownership. Some people are bothered that they got the wrong woman pregnant, per se. And now they feel stuck in a situation and say, hey, I don't want this person to be in my life forever, and I'm stuck in a situation. How can I get myself out? Who knows what his reasons could have been? But just personally knowing myself and other people, how we may think of why we do make these choices.
That's real. That's real deep. Hold on 1 second. We had another caller call in. Hello?
What's going on, man?
Oh, hey, how's it going? This is for everybody. This is Minister Jay Miller. What's good?
What's good with you, man? Yeah, I was running a little late today on the show, man. Today my wife's birthday. So I had to...
Okay. All right, Shamel. Happy birthday.
Yeah, man. But what's going on, man? Where we at on the show, man? What's going on, huh?
We were talking about, you know, I was talking for the last 40, 45 minutes, talking about victims of relationships, why people may, you know, cause harm to someone, whether it's physical, verbal, or mentally, what can cause it, what can prevent it, you know, just a lot of things dealing with that. We have a caller, Mr. New York Giants, who called in and said, I didn't even necessarily look at it from that type of perspective, but he said a lot of times when men get themselves, even women, but just referring to something that happened with the Kansas City Chief linebacker, he said a lot of times, you know, we don't necessarily know what goes on in people's minds for them to react the way they actually do. We just firsthand off the back say, well, hey, that person was wrong for doing what he did, necessarily, you know, think twice about why someone would do such a heinous act like that. And he said, because a lot of times, he's not saying that this falls under this category, but a lot of times people feel as though they may put themselves in a relationship and a baby may be involved or whatever the case they feel, or they feel as though they're trapped. And because they feel as though they're trapped, you know, they become, you know, irate in some ways. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Circumstances that they feel closed in and they only see one way out. Like I said, I also do agree. What happened still doesn't justify anything. I'm just saying what leads to why they may think that way. Point blank period. This may not be the woman I want to be stuck with. This may not be the woman I want to have my child. Like I said, and I also said, hey, I'm not saying I wasn't ready for fatherhood, but I just happened to deal with the wrong person that I made to be the mother of my child, and I want nothing to do with that. And before they have the option to think outside, what else? Or someone else could come help them, speak to somebody, and say, there must be another resolution before I get to this point. But they chose that direction anyway, and we see what happened.
You know what I'm saying about that? You know what's deep, too, man? Like, it lets you know that, like, money, which we all need, but there are some things, man, that money without peace in your mind is kind of useless. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, because you got one brother who may be thinking, dag, man, if I had what he had, you know, I would be able to, you know what I mean, be there the way I want to be there for my, you know, for my family, my kids. But, like, and when you have everything, and we don't know exactly what happened, but just imagine, you got everything, you can get anything you want. Like, what happens in a relationship that drives you to that point? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. It makes, like, a lot of sense.
Yeah, like, you know, you can, listen, your babies are not lacking. You can get anything you want. You know, you're doing okay. So, like, what act that you did, or if you think, if she did, what can make you go to that point? Because me, this is my point, and I'm only speaking for me. We all got different minds. Normally, if you got money and your bread is long, and you good, right? You good. And you're not even married, and you have a girlfriend, and let's say the reason was cheating, or the reason was, you know, you call her doing, you know, something like that. Really, logically, it's like, all right, I know who you are. I know what you've done. All right, I can move on. Now I know. But what drives you to the point to do something like that and then also make you not want to live?
I actually posed a question to any listener that was out there, and I spoke on my behalf as well, since you two gentlemen are on the now. I have a question for both of you. Has there ever been a relationship that you were in that allowed you to come out of character, not necessarily become abusive physically, verbally, or mentally, but just you doing something that you said to yourself, I would have never thought myself to do that?
I know what that feeling is. And I remember I was having a conversation with you earlier, and I was talking about when anger turns into rage. It's almost like, let's say if someone did something wrong to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep thinking what on that wrong, and you keep looking deeper and deeper inside of it, and you just keep going on a journey inside of what was done wrong to you.
Mm-hmm.
That creates a fury within yourself. And that's what can take you on a journey to do something way out of your character.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, a lot of times if you can catch the anger before it turns into rage, because rage is a place where it's almost uncontrollable when you go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes you meditating on a certain thing for a minute to take you there. And when you go to that place, all logic and everything else doesn't matter. It's almost like a blackout. Now you have snapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
well, some people actually call that, a crime of passion.
You said a crime of passion?
Yeah, situations like that where somebody doesn't think.
Normally crimes of passion, when you're convicted of a crime of passion, normally that's something that happens. You walk in, you snap right there, and you do it.
Yeah, I'm not talking about
premeditated,
situations where, you're doing this and you thought about it, you considered it, you harped on it for some time, crime of passion is something that happens right then and there, like you said.
But just say, say right now, right, you get in a situation and you're in a relationship with a woman, right, and you find her, she cheats on you, and you catch her in the act, all right, you walk away from the situation. You're like, I can't believe you go for a drive, and now you're driving, and you're in the reality of the situation is starting to actually speak to you. It's like you're really starting to think, wow, this thing really just happened. And if you really start thinking on that thing too long, and if you probably don't get around someone that you can talk to or a place to let that pressure out, and if you're confronted with that thing that brought the pressure to you, normally, man, anything can happen. And you can do what you did and feel sorry afterwards, but it's too late. The deed is already done.
That's why I asked, is there anything that either one of you have done to the point where you said, I would have never done this, but, you found yourself in that situation because of a particular relationship that you were in. Has it been something?
Let's put it this way. Not even just in relationship, right, with a woman. I remember a while ago, this when I was young, I remember this. One of my friends had said something disrespectful, right, and word got back to me. So when I confronted the person, I was like, yo, man, I thought you was my man. I just want to know, I like to, did you do so-and-so? Was it you? And his response was, and that response, him saying and, like, made me get stuck for a moment. And I couldn't believe the response. Like, I thought about, and all I kept hearing was the and the facial, and seeing the facial expression that he had when he said and. Like, and what you going to do about it? And, like, I'm not worried about any, that whole thing. And I kept replaying that in my mind. The next thing you know, he was asleep on the floor. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was asleep on the floor. I had thought about that thing, and the next thing you know, who a person that I considered like a brother completely became a nobody to me, like within that little bit of time by me looking at the situation the deepest way that I could look at it. And I couldn't get around the and. And that's one word. That's just one word. This is his response. Like, I didn't even go there to, like, fight or anything like that, but that response pushed something in me that I couldn't handle. Like, I couldn't handle it, and I couldn't take it, and it made me feel like by him saying that and being younger, it was like challenging my manhood or challenging...
You feel you felt disrespected.
To the highest level.
Right.
To me at that time.
Let me interject on that. Now, you see how that one word drove you. Now, who knows? Let's say you had something in your pocket. Would we have reached for that,
just in general,
and what we have reached for that, because that moment, it was, you didn't even think about it. It was a cause and effect. He was going to get that regardless because of that one word. Now, if you could punch somebody and lay them out over one word, think about the next person that really do have an anger problem. That really do have a situation mentally that do stuff for the fun of it to get in trouble. Now, you level-headed man, but don't care for too much of disrespect. That's why dude got what he got. Not saying it's right, but it's understandable.
No, it wasn't right. I blame me for that. And to me, it's like he still won after I thought about it, because I was mad at the fact after that that he controlled me by his words. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still controlled me because he made me respond a way that I really didn't want to.
But that moment was, I ain't going to say pleasurable, but it felt right at that moment. And I'm
okay,
not saying.
At that moment, it felt good. Because
right.
it felt like who he was in that moment, he deserved it. Yeah. Why am I echoing like this?
Yeah. I don't know.
Speak on your phone?
Yeah, that's deep, man. And you know something? And like you just made that point, someone who really has anger issue problems, and someone, listen, man, there are people right now being taken out over some of the most, we'll look at the situations and be like, yo, why would they do something like that over that? What type of brain, what were they functioning on? But the world we living in, man, people, like, I'm going to tell you, man, like, people don't care, man. For real.
They don't care. But like I was, what I was getting at was, yet man took you there. Now, that man today, in all respect to the family, that
yes.
Got some prayers
pray
for them. Hope
both,
all his
both families.
Strength.
His family
peace.
And hers. Yeah.
Exactly. But at the same time, we say to ourselves, now, Minister J, you got a family, kids, family, kids. That's your home. That's your wife. That's your kids. You look at your woman, and vice versa, you deserve that type of respect just by me holding down my household as I should as a man, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that alone, even if your woman was a, let's say, disrespect you in public, well, we know how to communicate. But, you know, sometimes we both get out of line. You know what I mean? It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, like, woman or man, is this how we doing things? I do this. I do that. I supply. I do all these things. And you look at me, and you do this to me in a disrespectful manner. Now, you walked in, you saw him, like you said, a man watches his woman receiving loving from another man.
Yeah.
You punch through over in, you think I'm going to pull out a Glock and want to shoot?
Yeah. Yeah, a situation like that, and yeah.
Come on.
No, you,
like I said, it don't justify, but you got to think about it.
No. In the moment, that's why I said certain situations, if a person doesn't have a friend or a boy, if they don't get to a person that can talk to them, you know what I mean? Sometimes you need help in them situations, man.
Yeah. A lot,
you know,
a lot of people keep their stuff boiled in. They'll never get to the point to thinking there got to be another. Or to them, in a sick mind for the moment, I don't have to worry about this no more if I do this.
Yeah. 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 But you know what's something, though? The thing about it, and much as it, the thing about it, man, especially when you have children, you got to, and I'm not saying it, more than, it's, you leaving, you're damaging not only that situation, but just imagine, you know, the children, what you do to the children, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
you
now, I'm praying for that family, man, because the child has no mother and no father.
Wow. Yeah, Minister Jeff, do you remember about 10 years ago about Ray Caruth, the other football player in Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
That shot and killed his baby mother? No, excuse me. He hired a hitman to kill her. And all because he said, if you're not going to be my wife, I don't want no more women having my kids. That alone, since being you not working out, I'm going to kill you. And he sent the head out for the man, and he killed her. But guess what? The baby still lives. And now the grandmother raising that child, explaining to the son, your father's locked up and your mother's dead. That child is stuck with in this situation that had nothing to do with it.
Wow. You know something, man? Like me, I got all daughters, all girls. And you know when I see stuff like this, man, it makes you think, wow. I hope that I don't want no man to love my daughter that much that he'll kill her and then kill himself. And that's just my opinion. I don't want them to experience that type of whatever you want, you know, love. I don't want them to experience that. And when I'm saying that, I don't mean to offend anyone, you know what I mean, or disrespect to anyone that is going through something like that. But I'm just saying, like, I don't want them to be, I pray that they don't be in relationships where a dude, if it doesn't work out, if her and a guy doesn't work out, he looks at her and be like, well, if I can't have you, nobody can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very,
yeah.
I mean, that could be very, very, very detrimental to, you know, both parties, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really, really hard to see yourself, not even your children, but even to see yourself, you know what I'm saying, in that situation, let alone see, you know, your daughter, you know, that's, and then not only that, but then you have to turn around and say to yourself, okay, well, me as a father, what type of situation can I see or see myself getting into if somebody hurts my daughter? You know what I mean? So,
no,
I mean.
No, listen. Wow. Listen, man. Me,
personal.
And I'm saying this on the air.
If,
when it comes to my daughters,
I wish I didn't
if you hurt them, however I respond, I feel justified, regardless of what consequence that I have to deal with afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me personally. You do something to my daughters,
I think anybody's honest.
Like, I'm just saying, if I got to sit behind that wall, I have to just sit behind that wall. When it comes to you hurting my daughters, like, you're hurting, yeah.
Everybody's seen that movie. Everybody's seen that movie with Samuel Jackson and Matthew McConaughey.
Okay, A Time to Kill.
A Time to Kill,
yeah.
Where Samuel Jackson, actually, these men took his daughter. She was what, like 7, 8, 9 years old around there?
Oh, yeah. We don't even have to go to the extremes of what happened in that.
But just
understand,
you know,
wow.
the love and passion that a father would have for his child, especially a daughter, and you know what I'm saying, to put him in that type of situation, definitely be uncompromising. You know what I'm saying? And a father, I say 9 times out of 10, most fathers go to that extent to protect their children.
But
and
you know what, though? I actually would also say, too, the same, us as fathers who are in that situation that would be willing to protect our daughters and do all that, the same way our response should be towards our women and the ones that we're with, where we don't be the ones to become that guy that we would kill or do something to, that if he did it to our daughters, that makes sure we, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it makes sense. But my question is, you know, putting yourself in those type of situations, and you're saying that you would be justified doing that, but do you think that that's morally correct?
No. Listen, I said this is something personally. I said me. And listen, if something happened, listen, I would pray that, and this is just me personally, I would pray that it was a friend or someone that can just be there, hit me, knock me out, take me down, take me somewhere that will save me from myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you need to be saved from yourself. And I'm saying, and nowhere in the right way, I don't believe that I would be right. But sometimes everyone has a place that is hard for them to get past. Now, maybe if I got away and you saved me and I had time to actually think about it and I had actually time to get my mind together, but in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the chaos of the whole thing, it's hard to think right, man. And you need some guidance. You will need, and if a person can't get their mind calmed down or calm in a way, you snap, because now it's like you become something. It's like the situation created you and you evolved into something that you didn't want to be.
Yeah, true. I have a question for you. I have a question for both of you. Do you think that that parents interfering with their children's relationships, can that cause a relationship to be, you know, unhealthy and may involve some type of victimizing within a relationship because parents are actually having too much of a hand in their child's relationship?
Okay. I believe that I believe that's a big problem, especially if your child is married. Your child is married and they move on. I believe, first of all, this is something that I would actually expect. If someone marries my daughter, I want you to be a good husband and all also. But I also want to actually establish a relationship with my son-in-law that he could talk to me on his own will, without me actually trying to force myself in a relationship. I would want to actually try to build some type of relationship where he feels really like family, not just like he doesn't just feel like my daughter's husband, but he actually really feels there's a relationship. Not only he married into the whole family and her with his family, so that when issues come that are, you can talk to me and I can give you wisdom because I'm her father and we can talk, you know what I mean? But without me having to be all in it. I completely do not agree with parents being all in their child's married relationship. That's a time bomb waiting to tick, because I don't care what you say, right? The first time that a woman or a man goes to his parents about his wife or her husband without the wife of them knowing and says something very negative, even though those parents come around, they'll still feel some type of way for that person. And you can create a perception about your spouse, and then when everything is all happy back between y'all, you're wondering why people got an attitude with your wife or with your husband, because they still haven't got over what you told them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Let me piggyback on that. Yeah. That's why, like you said, you know, your parents, well, they can care. They can have concern, of course, like your child. All you can do is probably give them the best advice you can and then let them deal with it. But what you just said about how I can't even bring my spouse around, because what I've told my family about this person, I forgave them. but they haven't let it go, like you just said. Because you have to, you might have to pick and choose who you speak to about your relationship. Because you got the family friends that want to ride with you and say, as long as you're happy, I'm happy, knock them over. Then you got some that's, look, I don't want to see that person again because I know that person's done wrong to you. So that's all I keep in my head now. I don't want to see you do what I don't want to see you do. Because of what that person did. So what you might as well do is don't tell nobody. Because if you want your mate to be accepted into that household or family, sometimes you just speak to yourself or they won't be able to love and accept it after you do them.
I'm going to tell you something too, right? Would it be better? It would be better for you both as a married couple to go talk to the parents together than separately by yourself about your marriage. Because if you talk together, that still shows a form of unity. Listen, I'm not saying that I'm against my wife, but we need help with this issue. Can y'all talk to us? But when you go by yourself and be like, yo, mom or dad, listen, can you believe what so-and-so did?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you come from that angle, and they like, what?
And you're definitely only getting one side at the time.
Yeah, you're getting that one side at the time. And guess what? If it's the person parents they going to, you know whose side they on? Their child's.
Of course. Parents are always biased to their own children.
I have a question also.
How about, you know, the relationships where the two people aren't necessarily married, but they have a child together, or they've been together for 6-7 years, you know, and just haven't gotten married yet. How do you think a parent can affect that relationship, whether good or bad?
Well, I believe a parent can affect that relationship because, first of all, a father, a father will be looking at, all right, you've been with my daughter for this long. All right, like, what is you doing, player? Like, do you just, like, are you wasting my child's life?
What if the daughter doesn't necessarily get married? What if your daughter doesn't necessarily want to get married? Like, it's not necessarily the point.
Yeah, and my thing, and even vice versa that, to talk to your daughter, it's like this. Like, listen, don't expect, and this is deep. It's hard to expect, what's the use of you wanting him to do married things and you want him to be like a husband? You want the same level of commitment like a husband or a wife, but you're not willing to make it real. You want to completely make it, keep it counterfeit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm on it like this. Like, that's really playing house like we did when we was kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when we play guess what playing house is? When you play house, really, you playing a game, and it's really fake.
Well, you know, that's coming from an aspect of somebody thinking that marriage is, you know, the right to do. But there are people out there that don't necessarily consider marriage. They just consider just being in a relationship, and they don't feel as though, like, okay, for instance, let's say I know people personally who actually, you know, the female is in school, the male is in school, and they've probably been going together the whole time since they've been in college, which 4 or 5 years, whatever, but they're not necessarily ready as of yet to get married.
Normally it's the fear, which everybody has this, because me, listen, marriage was something that was not on the top of my list, all right? But I'm going to tell you this. Normally it's the fear of this thing ain't good, so why try to fix something that's not broke? So when we get married, people have that fear. All right, everything been good now. Now when we get this little piece of paper and we get married, now everything is going to fall apart.
Yeah, but not
so
always.
Let's keep it.
But there are some people that just don't care to get married.
Yeah, some people.
is used to their own situation.
A
lot of people, even to this
if you don't
care
to get married, though, Harry,
I've been living with this mate for over years.
It's still a reason, though. Everybody that does not want to get married, it's still a reason why they choose not to. Whatever that reason is, it's still a reason.
Who's to say that their reason is a bad reason? Maybe they just don't want to get married for whatever reason that it
may be. Give me good reasons of not wanting to get married. I'm just saying, give me good reasons.
You asking me to give you good reasons?
Give me good reasons.
Oh, well, number one, my wife has bad credit and I have great credit. And because I get married to her, my credit becomes bad.
What I'm saying, though. But really, that's a bad and good reason. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So,
reason.
It's still a reason. It's always a reason why you don't want to.
And
to not get married, normally though, it's a it's always a negative in there too though.
I'm saying
it's always a negative too.
Whether it's a negative or a positive, people may have good reasons why they don't want to get married, and sometimes it works for them.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like this. All right. For instance, I was talking earlier about a situation where I was dating a girl who was Hindu, and her culture and her religion requires her to have a planned marriage. She didn't necessarily want to be a part of that culture or that religion, married in type of way. In her situation, she did not want to get married for that reason. She did not want to get married. Other people may not want to get married because their parents, their parents' marriage was successful, so they would rather not get married. And the relationship that they're in is working for them. The person that they're actually with is okay with not getting married, so they're okay with not getting married, and it's cool. You know, they have an understanding, and it works. So. For a mother or for a father to interject and tell them to get married, and what if in return they get married because they're trying to make their parents happy, and then the marriage doesn't work, you know what I'm saying? Just for the simple fact of whatever reason that they got into a relationship or probably sustained from getting married, they said, well, this is why I don't want to get married. And then they get married anyway, and then those are the reasons that actually break them up after they get married.
Well, you know what? And listen, I was raised in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
My step-pop, he'd been in my life since I was 2 years old. Right? 2 years old. I just turned 38, November 7th. Listen, my mom and him just got married about six, seven years ago. All these years, just got married. They didn't get married until I was in my 30s. And he'd been there in the same household since I was two. So, I actually lived that.
So do you know why it took them that long to get married?
You know something? I asked them. My mom, and check this. My mom was the one who didn't want to get married.
Mm.
And I know my mom says, like, right now, okay, my father has been sick, what, for the last 10 years, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my mother has been married to my father about over 30 years. They've been married over 30 years. My mother said, she said to me all the time, Aaron, God forbid, when your father goes, you know, I'm in my 70s. I'm not, you know, I'm not dead yet. You know, I'm not even close to dead death. And if the Lord, if God willing, I live to be, you know, 80, 90 years old. I'm planning on getting married again. And I'm talking a woman who, you know, who was the first lady, you know what I'm saying, in the church, again, for over 30 years, you know what I'm saying, believes in Jesus, all that stuff. But she actually said that she would never get married. Well, she said that she would never get married again after or when my father, if my father, you know, passes. She would not get married again, even if she does get into another relationship, you know, in her later years. She's not going to get married again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, for some people, marriage is not actually an issue. It's just something that they're not going to do. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, my brother says, you know, my brother has been married once before. He's married now again. And he said, if this relationship doesn't work, he's not getting married again either. And he said he'll be definitely fine with that. That's not something.
But you know what? It's not so much men, though. In a lot of it's normally the women. The picture of how marriage is painted,
mm-hmm.
it's the women who more so push for marriage, because it's them. See, it's that wedding gown. It's the commitment of it, the whole picture. It's almost like it's almost, you know, every woman wants to feel like there's
a man
that loves her, that loves her to that level to marry her and say you want to spend the rest of your life with her.
Mm.
I believe women, you know, for real.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily believe that all women are like
no,
that.
No, not all women, because, listen, I got cousins that be like, listen, man, I ain't never getting married. Like, no, for real. I ain't never getting married. I wish somebody would ask me to marry them. And they serious as I don't know what. They like, listen, I come to your wedding, cuz. Eat your food and keep it moving. I might leave with somebody from your wedding, but best believe they ain't going to be my husband. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, we all got those in our family, though. You know, we always got
that's you're
like,
right.
Straight, like, listen, I am not getting married. And you know what? A lot of times, even that happens from what they've experienced in relationship or seen other people go through in relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially, mm-hmm. and you know what can be discouraging, even being married now, when you see someone that's been married 40, 50 years, and they talk about now they're getting divorced. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
30 years, 20 years, and now they're getting divorced. Like, being in a young marriage,
mm-hmm.
to think about that, it makes you be like, wow.
Yeah. That's why I said earlier in the show, and I live by this. You know, I truly, truly live by it because it works for me. You know what I mean? I said that marriage is a principal thing to do. You know, it's the ideal thing to do. But within the relationship, you make the rules. The individuals who are in that relationship, you make the rules. There is no imaginary authoritative, you know, commandments above your head that you have to abide by, because what may work for me may not work for you. So there aren't necessarily any set rules. Just me personally, that I believe that, you know, you should go by, because everybody's different, everybody's relationship is different, and everybody's situation is different. You know what I'm saying? My thing always is, you know, the marriage is the ideal principal thing, but you, as the couple, make your rules. So, hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I lost everybody. But, yeah, so,
no,
you know, in that sense, I believe, for me, it's actually, you know, been working, because, you know, we ourselves, we talk, we communicate, and we make, you know, rules based on our situation, you know, our personalities, who we are, and what works for us.
Yo, my boy told me he had this talk with this old man, and he played for their, I think it was like their 50-something anniversary or something dinner. And he was talking to the man, and it was a whole bunch of older guys that was talking. And he was like, yo, my boy asked the question. He was like, yo, like, how do you survive in a marriage as a man that long? The old man looked at it and was like, what you got to do? He was like, yo, if you can always look at your wife as your bride, like, never let her not, he's like, always look at her as your bride. Never let that perception leave your mind as her being your bride. That jewel, that thing that when you first married her, you know what I mean? My boy was like, that's deep. But he was like, you know, what I've been through, sometimes, you know, that's very hard, you know, when you hear, you know, mouth or certain things or attitudes that you didn't get at first. And you, the more you go on, and a lot of times it creates some bitterness or different things like that, he was saying to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, listen, man, the thing about marriage, yo, he was like, listen, I've been married 50 years, 60 years, whatever. Don't think we haven't had no ups and downs. But the thing about it, when we said the vows, we individually, before we even got married, we talked about it, and we made sure that this is what we wanted to do. And we meant, when we got married, we meant it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, you know, he was like, if you're going to get married, make sure you mean it. Don't get married just to get married to say you got married. Make sure you mean it. You know what I mean? Don't let nobody force you into it. And make sure that's the one that you want to be your bride.
Since you said that, I have a question for you. Do you think that religion can cause people to be victimized in relationships?
Yeah, because even being in religion, it can push you to marry somebody that you really know that's not for you, but you want to be right. You don't want to, you know how, you know.
Wow.
And you try to, especially if. If you're focusing on scriptures like it's better to marry than to burn.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to be in this relationship, I know I don't want to live the rest of my life and not be able to lay with a woman or lay with a man. So let me go ahead and do this and make this thing right. And then when you get married for those reasons, normally it's a shipwreck. Because at the end of the day, if it's no more sex, what you got? But once the thrill of that goes away, what you got? You know what I mean? And so it's a lot of it. That's why it's a lot of marriages in church. That the rate in, even in church, the divorce rate is high. I believe it's higher than anywhere else. Because there are people marrying for the wrong reasons. They're marrying people. Listen, people are getting married so they can look right in the eyes of people.
Wow.
People aren't really getting married to get in the eyes of God. They really getting married to look right in the eyes of people.
Right. But you got so many people, and I'm going to say women. We all grew up in the church. You got so many women in the church. Let's say the church. It's all gorgeous. A dream for any woman that want to get married so bad that they will pick a person that they know that is just not for them. Or that one person that finally gave them that attention that they need and desire. Not, and forget about what they truly believe that they feel that they deserve in their mate. But because that dream of marriage, that day, what I should live by, God, for you to give me a blessing on my child and send me someone, now I'm about to make anyone that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what? No offense to what I'm about to say to anyone out there, but, you know, this is Dirty Church Radio. You know, we the hosts on here, so I'm going to say what I want to say. there are people, it's a lot of women who be so, or that are so desperate to get married that they may marry a man who's a homosexual but won't even see it and be blinded by it.
I try not to say that, you.
And then the next thing you know, they come home and they catch their man in the bed with another man. You know what I'm saying? But they, because they want that white picket fence, they want that marriage, so they won't even see the feminine ways, or they won't even see, they'll look past all of that because their desperation blinds them.
Well,
you know what
then,
I'm saying?
Also, a lot of times, I just got disconnected for a second, but a lot of times I heard what you said, and that applies to more people than we would imagine. It applies to a lot of relationships dealing with that. They're called down low brothers.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, I'm not saying all times, but there are some times where women and those types of men have an understanding and they have an agreement. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some times where they're friends. They actually have a friendship, and they get married and have kids or you know whatever the case is because they have established a friendship, and maybe in a situation the female may hope that maybe he might change or he might stop whatever it's at. And a lot of cases sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it ends in good situations, sometimes it ends in bad situations.
And then the thing where they mess up at is some women. Look at that and be like, well, once he gets some of this, he gonna be straight.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
is the point that they can actually change a cat from that way when he's rooted and grounded in that thing. You know what
I'm
saying?
I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna be real honest with you. I mean, I've got into a relationship, not a committed relationship. But I've been in a situation where I've been with a female who was gay. And I really thought that, I was man enough to change.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently I wasn't, because just last year, she got married to a female. But yeah, you're right. That's so, so real. People really do think that they can change people out of their situation, because they feel as though that they're great lovers in bed. And,
they're great lovers in bed. And once they get this, I'm gonna put it on them so bad that they ain't gonna never think that way no more.
But
you fooling yourself.
I think that's the misconception, because everybody thinks when it comes to homosexuality, it has a lot to do with sex. If a man's gay and, all he thinks about is bending guys over and having sex with him. But a lot of times that's not necessarily the case. Same thing for women. A lot of times it's not necessarily the case. I'm not saying always, but a lot of times people, just like guys respect females, men who like men and women who like women respect that as well. And they say, I want to be in a loving relationship. Not necessarily, and that's why straight people, heterosexuals think that they can change somebody by sex, and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not basing their relationship on sex. They're basing their relationship on love. The same thing, or the same way you're basing your relationship when it comes to your wife or your husband, that's how they're basing their relationship, their wife and their husband. They want a relationship, not sex.
But see, that's a big problem too, though, Aaron, too. Even in relationships, how you really become a victim of a relationship too is when you really don't know how to have a relationship. You only know how to have sex.
True. True indeed. Me and New York was talking earlier, and he said a lot of times, women stay in relationships because the sex is good.
Yeah.
The men are good in the bedroom, and because of that, women would put up with just about anything.
Any type of stuff. And that's why good guys, I'm going to tell you this, and this is a fact. I'm going to tell you, I've seen this. So
it's a sad fact. It's a
the
sad,
good guys get stepped on, and the bad, the so-called bad guy is the one that, like, they will go all their way out for. Like, he'll do all types of stuff, and they still won't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
That's 100% right. 100%. Look, and you can ask DA. I talk to many of past female friends I'm just still cool with, and they call me weekly about some new dude. Now, the first dude I'm told about is, I met this young man. He's so nice. He do this, he do that, everything perfect. But I just don't sell him like that. Next week, I met this dude. He ain't call me. Why ain't call me? He said he was going to call me back. Just, I said, well, why after the first dude? He didn't really give me that case. It wasn't nothing for me to be appealed to. Because it's something about that man that woman feels like she hasn't conquered yet, that she's chasing after. But the good guy that lays it all out and it's nothing for her to fetch for, then she's good. She's done with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yo,
yeah,
you
right.
know what's a deep song? Jasmine Sullivan, this song called I'm in Love with Another Man.
Yeah, they got a club version that is hot.
Listen to the lyrics to the song, though?
Yeah.
Don't she's telling the dude everything about you is right. Listen, I know you love me. You know what I mean? I know you'll do this for me. Everything about you, you treat me right. Listen, but listen, she tells him, like, listen, I don't deserve you, like, because I love him. Even though, like, he may, and I'm just paraphrasing, he, like, may hit me over my head and smack me up to the floor. But, like, I can't help it. Like, I love him.
Yeah, true. We have another caller in, the 678 number. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm just listening.
Oh, that's Mr. Sanefa. What's going
I'm just
on, Sanefa?
Hey, not
what's
man.
Going on?
I tried calling you earlier, Sanefa, man, to let you know about
you?
The show, man. Yeah, I called that 678 number.
Oh, did you? Okay, I got your...
To try to let you know about the show, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got the inbox, or somebody, you sent me a, whatchamacallit, too. I got that, and I pulled it up. I was listening, and I had to break away, so I just came back to listen. My computer wouldn't play it, so I had to call in and listen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah
right. Man. We just wanted just talking about victims of relationships and stuff, man. And Brother DA, he was on here like the first hour. I wasn't able to call in. It's about a little after nine, almost nine.
Yeah, this whole conversation stems from, I don't know if you heard, but the situation with the Kansas City Chief linebacker.
Yeah,
who actually took his life and took his girlfriend's life and left behind a 3-month-old child. That's basically where the conversation stems from, and how certain scenarios can allow people to become victims of domestic violence within relationships. Certain type of things that play a part in the reason why people become violent in relationships. How can we prevent it? What are some of the things that trigger it? Could it be religion? Could it be parents involving themselves in relationships? I know before you said that you've been married for about, 15, 18 years around there?
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah.
Can you shed some light and some wisdom on how certain things can abrupt within relationships?
Well,
positive and negative?
Yeah, we just actually, before that situation with the football player, Trenton just experienced a really traumatic situation.
Yeah.
Shelley, and that both, and you know, the sad part of it is both of them were my friends. I mean, really close friends. Both of them were. And character is not the reason. Love love doesn't hurt, man. It doesn't hurt people like that. Not, I mean, to take somebody's life. and to take your life. You know, I think that there's a point where hopelessness plays a big part of it, you know, where people get to a point where they feel like they have nothing left and nothing in life is worth living, and so they end it. I mean, and to say that religion would be one cause of it would be pointing a finger at something that it's like throwing dust in the wind. You really can't pinpoint why, though there's a breaking point in the mind where people just feel hopeless, man. You know, I know for my wife, it's a love story almost. You know, I moved to Atlanta with nothing. I mean, I had a bag on my back, man. When I moved down here, I didn't move here with anything and didn't know anybody and met my wife on the train and followed her all the way to a stop. I was stalking her back then, begging for a phone number. And she gave me a phone number after much persuasion, you know. And I called and we talked for about a month or so. And I went to visit, man, one Saturday and never left. You know, we've been together ever since. You know, and so when you look back at what love does, it creates your and I mean, we went through a period, man. And just to share what love is, we went through a period where we had about two pots and one chair, and we would rush home from work. See who would get to sit in the chair, and the pot was so thin that if you cooked, everything was going to burn. You know what I mean? And so now, you know, the house is full of stuff we can't, I mean, overabundance of stuff and things, and that's what love builds. Love doesn't kill, man. And what people find is that when people reach that point where they hit and they hurt other people, man, and I've been on both sides of the fence. This ain't my first marriage, man, and I've been on both sides of the fence where it was domestic violence in the house, and it's caused me to hurt. When you hurt somebody, people hurt back. They lash back out. We don't know what happened with that football player. We don't know if she cheated on him and he found out. You know, love. My mother used to tell me. She used to say, boy, your problem is you love too hard. That's why you're always angry and hurt when somebody do something to you. You know, when we put all of our trust into something and it turns out not to be what it's supposed to be, or they do something contrary to what you, it hurts, man. And people, you never know what a person's breaking point is. So, you know, I think it's psychological, and only the people to prevent it is to be involved in people's lives. You know, you got to be involved in and pay attention to signs of people. You know, you can tell if your boy, you go over your boy's house and his wife is withdrawn and the kids don't want to be, you know, they're not interacting because he looks at them and they go sit down or have this type, then there's something going on. And rather than just walk out the house and say, boy, that dude, he's strict. You need to step to him. You know, and say, hey, man, everything cool? You know, I noticed your kids was a little, or I noticed, you know, your wife, everybody all right at the house? Because what that does is open the doors up for people to have a conversation, a dialogue about their problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah, I have another question for you. The question is, you say you've been on both sides of the fence. The reason why you got married the first time, was it the same reason why you got married the second time?
No, man. I was young. Nah, I was young. And you know, hormones popping, and you finally find out how that thing worked. And then love becomes a physical endeavor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you become engrossed in the physical aspects of love as opposed to the emotional ties, you know what I'm saying? And then once the physical becomes old, you realize that there is no emotional tie. And then everything you do wrong, I hate you at that point. I don't like you very much. You know, it's easy to love somebody. It's hard to like them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times marriages go haywire for that reason, man, you know. And my wife now, she tolerates, man, I'm still nutty, you know. I think she probably is the only one that could deal with me, man. Still kind of bad.
I know. I used to have a teacher. He was I think this is the only Native American that I've actually ever met in my whole entire life. His name was Professor Running Foot. And I remember he said something that stuck with me for a long time. He said, a lot of people fall in love before they fall in like. And he said that could be very, very detrimental to people because once you involve your feelings and once you invest so much in a relationship before you even get to know the person to like that person, love, now you put yourself in a position where you have so many ties, it's hard to come out, and then you realize that I don't even like this person. And then just like you said, your feelings turn to hate because you start to realize that you really don't like this person at all. And, you know, I can't imagine. I think I've been in that situation. But, you know, coming from somebody who's older like you, who've experienced a whole lot more than I probably have, what have you learned previous? Well, what have you learned now that you didn't know previously that makes this relationship 10 times stronger?
I'm glad you asked that because it's a very, very simple thing. I learned a very simple thing. You know, when we're young, you often hear people say, you know, you don't jump into relationships because you don't know that person, or you guys got to get to know each other before you get married or before you become in a relationship. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard that. Now, if we go all the way back to being a kid, how many of you guys remember being in class and writing those notes? I love you. Do you love me? Circle yes or no. You remember? You remember
those?
Yeah,
I do remember it. Uh-huh.
Right. Right. And you know what was really profound about those letters is that back then, love was based on what? It was based on a decision, right?
Whoa.
We complicated it. We put all these things. We love that person from the moment they circle yes. And so, yeah, I know. That's
really profound, man. I'm sorry, but I might have to steal that from you, bro.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we love that person from the moment. Love is a decision. We muddy the waters by looking at people's faults. Everybody has faults. Let me tell you, man, I was a straight drug head, thug, fighter, cusser, the whole thing. And I saw my wife. I loved her so much. I made a decision to remove those things because of her. You follow what I'm saying? For a long time, she didn't even see it because I made the decision to love her. And I knew that loving her meant that I had to get rid of a lot of things that I used to do and used to say and used to think. So love is a decision, man. Marriage is a decision. Marriage is an agreement that we decide on. We decide that we're going to be with each other. Think about the vows. The vows say to love and to cherish. It didn't say whether I was going. Right. To love and to cherish, to death do you part. That's a decision.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, man, people get together and they say, he snores. I don't like how he snores. I like the sex part, but I don't like the snoring part. So I'm just going to sleep with him, and some nights I'm just not going to sleep with him. And then in his mind, he's saying, why she ain't sleeping with me? Because, you know, snoring can't be the reason. Or, you know, he don't make enough money. That ain't got nothing to do with it, you know. So, but yeah, love is a decision. That's what I learned, man. I learned it's a very simple.
We also asked each other a question. Me and Jay was asking each other a question about can parents play a vital part in someone becoming a victim in a relationship or not?
Oh yeah, I mean I believe that you know there's so many parts to that puzzle, man. It's so many parts to the puzzle, man. Abuse. You've got conditioning, like we were talking about, generational curses of educational curses, I like to call them, as opposed to generational educational curses that's passed down from the many, many generations through how the kids were treated. You know, if you tie a kid up or lock them in a room or beat them all the time or not show them, you know, that you love them. You don't. Whoopings and whippings don't make good kids. Just like jail doesn't make a good adult. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I got five girls. I think I may have spanked two of them once in their life, and one and I got three. One that's 30, two that's 28. One is 19. I know she got one spanking, and my 12-year-old got a spanking once in their life. And the 19-year-old got hers when she was 4. You follow what I'm saying? So love doesn't have to hurt, man. You know, and so raising your kid in a certain manner, you know, even the Bible says raise them up in the way that they should go. Didn't say the way that they will go. It said in the way that they should. And so you never know, you know, where influences. There's so many influences, man. You know, so, you know, it's just unfortunate, tragic situations like what the football player went through. I could only imagine. I can't see eating a bullet. I just can't see doing it. You know, I can't see eating a bullet. Life ain't that damn bad. I mean, excuse me, bro, but it ain't that bad. I mean, it's worse for somebody else somewhere. So
you're right.
I
also said, made a remark earlier. I know a lot of people heard of the play Romeo and Juliet, a play written by Shakespeare, allegedly written by Shakespeare. But we've actually come to find out that story was dealing with someone who loved someone so much that they were willing to die. Do you think that's kind of like the same thing as a victim in a relationship, in a negative way or positive way? The two young people felt as though, you know, a tragedy happened.
I think Othello would have been a better story.
Othello?
Yeah.
Like
that situation? No, because didn't he kill based upon not saying I don't know the situation, but didn't he kill based upon like a jealous rage?
Yeah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? A thought in the mind and you can't get over that thought and you just keep meditating on it and it takes you to a place that you can't once it gets to that place, it's like trying to stop a moving train once it gets its momentum. And if you keep thinking on something, you keep thinking on it and thinking on it, dang, I can't believe they did this. Dang, I can't believe they did this. And like you just keep going in and you're giving that thought so much strength till it overtakes you and you black out and you do, and you're now a man out of control.
Yeah. I mean that's definitely a situation. I think the reason why that's true. I mean that's definitely, you know, a situation that can allow people to, you know, react that type of way. Jealousy is one of the, you know, vices on, you know, why people may harm and cause harm to people. But I was more so, the reason why I say Romeo and Juliet is because that's based on a relationship, that's based on love, to where it drove two young people to actually cause harm upon themselves for the sake of love.
And I would just ask, would we consider that being love to the point of death, or is that something else?
It's something else.
It's something else, you think?
I think that's something else.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I look at love as something that should grow, not something that should stop wanting to grow. And to me, I believe when for us to end life or want to end our lives, that's not a sign of growth. That's not a sign of love growing.
They actually thought that, you know, they would be together in the life after. That's why the other one, you know, took their life, saying that,
right.
I can't have it with you now, so I'm gonna have it with you, you know, in the life after. So, you know, they're the love that they had was so strong, that one was willing to take, you know, their life, or both of them were willing to take their lives to be with the other one. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, that's the core of most. That's the core of most murder suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the reason. And then, on top of that, is the fact that biblically, I'm not going to say biblically, but the church often teaches something that is really, really not cool. And I really have a problem with it. And we hear it all the time. I'm not going to say
yeah.
in church, but a lot of preachers do.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a funeral, right? And the preacher is preaching, and they say Marcus was a good man, and Marcus was, you know, a good father, and if you live right, you will see him again. Mama's over there and father's over there, and as they come to welcome you, when you hear people get up and say they're Christian and they had life-changing experiences where family members came to meet them and usher them into heaven, you know? And you hear that, but that's not biblical, and it doesn't line up. And so it becomes malpractice of Scripture, and people with that twisted spiritual sense of eternity, they take it upon themselves to initiate it. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So
it's just like someone committing suicide with a suicide bomb on them for the sake of getting a certain amount of virgins and the afterlife.
Yeah, jihad,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't make sense.
But like you said, with that was an excellent point when it comes to the Muslim belief, because they really do believe that. Just to let everybody know, we have 90 seconds left in the show. Jay, if you want to take us out right quick.
Listen, everyone right here, like y'all know, this is Dirty Church Radio. We appreciate everyone that tunes into the show. Like we always say, we're trying to talk about issues that a lot of people are avoiding, and we're trying to, you know, just stay in tune with our society and within our world of what's going on. Listen, stay tuned for more great shows with Dirty Church Radio. We love you. God bless you all. Have a good night.
All right. Okay, just to finish up what we were, to continue what I was saying. You made a point about the jihad belief. The way some Christians view Christianity, you know, how they believe that when they die, they are going to be with Jesus, and some people would rather because of this world. Like, for instance, there are some parents who actually believe as though they don't want their kids to be raised in this world, and because they don't want their kid to be raised in this world, they would rather take their kid's life and take their own lives to be in the world after, because they believe that that world is better, and they could be with their loved ones in that sense.
Do you think that may apply as well?
Yeah, I mean, even there's a story. And I mean, you guys still there? Gone?
Yeah, we still here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. There is a story in the Bible where it talks about, and I'm just showing you different instances of love where Josiah, I don't know if you guys remember, that's, well, it's in the Book of Kings, and Josiah was the youngest king that Israel ever had. I think he was 8 or 9 years old when he was given the throne, and by the time he was 21, Israel was so bad that God says, well, I'm going to take you now so you don't see what I'm going to do to the people that you love so much. You follow what I'm saying? And jihad is the same situation, man. You know, you have people who have devoted themselves so much to a religion or a particular faith that they will destroy people. It's no different than Christianity and Islam and other religions of the world. I think those are the only two or main two that are very destructive in nature as far as what they produce in peoples, for the most part, as far as wars and willing to fight for particular things, man. But we can't pinpoint people have been killing each other from the beginning of time, man, and it comes down to having a clear understanding of what, you know, an appreciation for humanities. That's what it boils down to. Because if we put the religion down for a minute, we still have to deal with the human side of life, you know, and that's where a lot of us are, you know, we're afraid. A lot of people are afraid to, you know, it's okay to put religion down for a minute. It's okay.
So would you call, you know, the people who follow that particular faith and that particular belief victims of their religion?
I think everybody in religion is a victim.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether they're killing or whether they're, I think everybody is a victim based on where I am, you know, and understanding that life does not cause for us to be legalistic in any form or fashion. You know what I mean? Moral codes were put there. Moral codes were put in the Bible to erase all 66 books. If you can live these moral codes, you don't have to be worried about everything else. It's a very simple message. You know what I mean? It's a very simple message. I always point to, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the 42 negative confessions or declarations of Ma'at.
Well,
have you ever heard of the negative?
No, I haven't.
Okay, when you get a chance, pull up the 42 negative confessions of Ma'at. That's M-A-A-T. And look at those, and it's going to blow your mind, man, because they also predate the Ten Commandments by thousands of years. And you can pluck the Ten Commandments out of them like, you know, you can just pull all 10 of them out quickly.
Oh, man,
it's not like you have.
I see it right
huh?
here.
Are you
I
looking
said,
at
I
them?
I see it right here. I'm definitely going to check them out.
Yeah, check those out, man, because moral codes are the foundation of righteousness, man. We don't have to figure out what Jeremiah did and how he built, you know, and what Nehemiah did and building the walls. And we ain't got to figure all that stuff out if we follow simple moral codes, man, which deal with humanities. Those are humanitarian efforts of man. That's what it all boils down to.
That's awesome. I think that our next show is going to be, I think tomorrow, and I think it's because of what you just said just now. Tomorrow our show, I'm going to talk to Jay about it, but I think our show should be based on where do morals come from? I think that would be you know, an awesome topic, and to see what people would have to say based on that. But to get back to this topic right here, a lot of times, you know, the three big religions, which is Judaism, Christianity, and Muslim, a lot of times, you know, they kind of profess, you know, loving your religion to the point of death.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say about that?
Like I said,
loving
your religion to the point of... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Somebody was talking?
No. I was just telling you to go ahead to explain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that should not be. That in itself is where the it becomes a mental health issue. I personally don't have a problem with people in religion practicing it to better themselves or finding principles. Mm-hmm. If they find a book, man, I got a book, Khalil Gibran. I love Khalil Gibran. I love a lot of different authors, man, where I pull values and things from so that I could better my life, you know what I mean? And so if a person uses the Bible for that purpose, I'm all for it. But
mm-hmm.
when it becomes illusionary, where it becomes, the stories become real to them to the point to where you believe it, that things that are definitely factually not possible, that are not possible, then it becomes a problem where, you know, it becomes illusionary and it's borderline psychotic. You know, when you hear voices and you see, I had a guy tell me that it was a pastor today, told me that he was praying for me. And I told him, I said, thank you, brother. I appreciate you praying for me. And then he went on Facebook to say that he prayed for me and he asked God for this and he asked God for that. And he told God he wanted God to do this for me and wanted God to do that for me. And I deleted it off my page. And then he came back and he said, well, why'd you delete that? He said, you delete me now? And I said, yeah, because, you know, either you're not reading your Bible, because it said don't do that. It said pray in secret. God will reward you openly. And so whatever you're praying for, you follow what I'm saying? So you got people who are doing things that are completely just doesn't make sense, you know, and it's based, and those are the ones who have, who will sell you a bill of goods, man. So I don't have
a problem. I always say that that the Bible, I believe, loses its purpose and its intent when people take it out of context in a way of taking stories literally, taking the part of the Bible that is supposed to be that may be allegory, or, you know, it may be a story to show a bigger picture. But when you take that story literally, I believe it defeats the purpose of the message. And then that's when people start to argue over Jesus really walking on water, or if Jonah really got swallowed by a fish or a whale. These are the minuscule things that people start to argue about, and it loses the purpose and the intent of the story, of the intent of the story behind it, and because you just said that, I mean, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's your Facebook, DA?
It's V as in Victor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry. Just all you have to do is look up Keys Spratley. K-E-Y-Z as in zebra, and Spradley is my last name, S as in Sam, P as in Peter, R, A, D as in dog, L-E-Y.
I got you. With a hat, with a baseball cap, kind of crazy-looking picture?
Fuzzy? Yes.
Def Jam Records?
Yes, uh-huh, yes.
Okay, I just sent you a request. I just put a picture up today, you know, and it's remarkable how you say that, you know, what you said. It's remarkable because people get caught up in the story so much that, you know, I want to believe a whole lot of stuff, man. You know, I want it to be to a point where people actually go, okay, I get the allegory, or I get the meaning behind it. I understand what the irony is now. It would make that book so much more powerful, and people don't read
it. Yes, it would. Yes,
and so, yeah, because they don't read it like that, and then you're right, it's such a big fight. I'm learning not to fight them, and I'm learning to be all things to all people, so unless it's really ridiculous. When it gets really ridiculous, I can't take it anymore. So I gotta say something, you know. I posted a picture the other day, right, and I'm sure you'll see it. And if you go read that post, it was a story on Khalil Gibran, and I did it. It was a test. It was actually an experiment that a friend of mine and I were conducting, right? And here's what the experiment was. One time when one time as a kid, I remember hiding my mother's Bible to see how long it was going to take her to find it. And she goes to church all the time. And it took her about 2 weeks to find it. And she went to church probably about 10 times in the process. And when she asked me where it was, and I told her, what I did, she gave me a whooping. Because she had to look at herself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did with this experiment the other day was I took a picture, the ugliest picture of Satan that I could find, or the assumed image of what Satan is that I could find. And I took a story from Khalil Gibran called Satan with a whole lot. It's kind of long. It's a short story. And the experiment was to see if Christians would actually read the story and comment on the story, or look at the picture and make a comment on the picture. I have a pastor that's been on my page for 2-3 days now fighting. He just can't let it go. And he still never read the story.
It's, oh my goodness, that's so profound. I'm gonna tell you why it's profound. I have a story or two that I actually did an experiment on somebody, but that was really good. The reason why I said it is because it's a scholar. His name is, I don't know if you heard of him, but his name is John Dominic Crawford. He is a scholar of the New Testament, and he always says, this is his biggest thing. He always says, read the text. Read it.
Yeah, you got it.
If you read the story, 9 times out of 10, you would totally have a different perspective of situations and circumstances in the Bible. You would totally see it in a different light. But we don't, like you said, we don't read the story. All right, for instance, I actually did an experiment with somebody before, and I said, yeah, it's crazy. You know, we were talking about all types of religion, and I said, this one religion, really crazy. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy religion. And this person who I was talking to was a diehard Christian, and you know, I was raised up in this race all my life, but I started to read. It makes a big difference. But what happens is, so I told the person, I said, yeah, it's just this one crazy religion that I read up on. And it was, this religion actually had, you know, some type of man who was connected to, you know, to their God. And what happened was, this man was walking one day, and a whole bunch of little children came up to him, and they started ridiculing him. And when they started to ridicule him, what he actually did was, he called the power of his God to come down and and take care of these kids that was making fun of him. So when he called down the power of these of his god, this god allowed some female bears to come out of the woods and maul these kids.
In the Bible.
And and this person said, "Whoa, that's crazy! Like, why would this person, like, what kind of religion is this?" And I said, "This religion is Christianity." And they said, "What?" I said, "Yes. It was a prophet named Elijah that did that." And they said, "No, there's no possible way. There's no possible way."
Yes,
and I said, "And the story's in it. You can read it for yourself." And lo and behold, when they read it, they could not believe that this story was in the Bible.
Yeah, it's a lot of those, man. You know, it's funny that you, there's a friend of mine, and that's why I tell people to study, man. You got to study to understand what's going on around you and what people are saying. You know, a real funny story is that a friend of mine, his name is John, and John says that I asked him, he made a statement on a comment that I posted, and I asked him, he made the statement that, you know, I'm never, people just don't read in church. They don't read anymore, so I don't like to go. So I said, "Wait a minute, that means you're not going back anymore?" And he says, the last time he was in church, he said, they asked him to stand up and pray. And he said he was so sick of them doing that, he tried his best to get out of it, but they wouldn't let him out. They kept saying, "No, brother, my brother's going to come up and pray." And he said he kept trying to get out of it. He kept saying, "No, I don't want to." He said that when they did, he said, "Okay, I'm going to see if they really understand what it is that I'm saying." And he got up and he said, he recited in English with the whole theatricals of the Baptist church, a prayer, almost half a chapter from the Quran, the Fatiha. He said, Oh Lord, and he went through the whole thing, and they amened him, and thank you, Jesus, all the way through. And he said after he got finished, he shook his head and said, they didn't have a clue as to what I was saying. And so you have to, and which is my point, is that, if, and I say this all the time since I've been calling in, man, is that if you only read one book, if you only know one book, then you don't know anything. If you only know one book, you don't know anything. I tell people, I say, how do you talk to a Muslim? You can't, if you was a Christian, when I was a Christian, I bought books on how to witness to Muslims. I did. I bought books. There's books out there on how to witness to Muslims. What's the points that they stand on? You know, what do we do?
Wow.
How do you communicate? And once I started to read them, I said, they're the same book. It's the same stories, like little different things in Islam that's different from Christianity. You know, like Muslims don't believe that Abraham ever was, that God ever told Abraham to kill his son. They don't believe that Jesus, as a matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible, they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And they said, oh, so you going around telling everybody to worship you and your mother, huh? And then Jesus responds and said, no, it wasn't me, I wasn't saying that. So there, you know, when we look at, when you learn what it is, there's so many. I got a book right here. Matter of fact, let me pull who's here. I want to read you something out of here. And if I change, and this was here before the Hosea, the writings are there way before the Bible was ever even written. But if I read this and said, praise be to you, O Lord of truth, whose sanctuary is hidden, Lord of lords, the bringer into being, his sacred host, who commanded, and the powers and the principles of the universe came into being, the creator who created humankind and distinguished their characters, who made their life, who made their colors different from each other. If I read that, and with the right inflections in my voice, nobody would know that wasn't in the Bible. They'd probably ask me where it was.
Oh, true. True indeed.
Wow. Yes, there's So there's a whole lot out there, man, that I think people are robbing themselves if they don't start to investigate those, man. But like I said, bro, you know, you guys are doing good work, man. I call in often to just, you know, be a different voice, man, in the wind, man, just crying in the wind.
Listen, you don't understand, and I'm going to tell you. And after I finish, I definitely hope you call tomorrow, because I think that topic for tomorrow is going to be awesome, and I really mm-hmm. would like your insight on it. But before I let you go, I just want to let you know that your voice is definitely essential. We appreciate you calling in every single time. I know people personally that actually listen to the show and say that you are the smartest man on this show, one of the smartest men on this show. And it's a good thing. I mean, it's awesome to hear somebody else from a different perspective shed light on situations. Everybody knows my position on the show is to be the opposing, to show opposition, because if not, then it's going to be another Christian talk show and people preaching on it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my whole purpose. That's my whole agenda. And then to have somebody else come from another perspective, come from another light, it's so refreshing. You and our brother Matu, it's so refreshing to hear you guys, you know, come with your logic and your ideas and your views. It brings so much more light to the conversation. And me personally, and on behalf of Jay, I really appreciate you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I tell you, man, you know, that's what it's about. And I think you can take the short route. And I always tell people, you can take the short route, or you can go the same route that I went. You don't have to, because I went there already. You know what I mean? There was a brother who, he used to say, man, you don't have to be an alcoholic. I used to drink like a fish. He used to say, you don't have to be an alcoholic, man. He said, I already did that for you. He said, let me tell you how I stopped early so that you don't have to go the same route that I went. Save you a whole lot of years, you know. And so, and it's the same principle here, you know. People can take the short route by saying, you know, I had to look and search. This is not something I sat down. Where I am today didn't come out of one book. Where I am today didn't come out of one church, one masjid. I studied with the NOI, the Nation of Islam. I studied with Hebrew Israelites. I studied with the Sunni Muslims. I studied Christianity all my life, and then Kemetic readings and scripture, and then life in general. So you don't get it out of one book. You know what I'm saying? And it's through the pain of life that I was searching for answers. And you ground yourself based off of the stuff you go through. You know, somebody told me that the best lessons in life are the lessons that you failed. Those are the ones that teach you. You know what I mean? There was a guy who, there's an old writing, and I'm going to let you go after this. He says if I was a teacher, he said he would pass all the kids who got the answers. No, he said if he was a teacher, he would change the grading system in school. He said all of the on his test that he gave, all the ones that got all the answers right, they don't get an A. He said because they already knew the answer. He said the ones who get the answers wrong, he said when he tests again, when they get them right, he said those are the ones that get the A. The regular ones get a C because they're average. They already knew it. So there was no learning involved. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And the grade system, and this is where life is. Life, you know, we give the people who don't get in trouble an A. We'd say that they're good, but the ones who get in trouble and learn from it, we tell them, see, I told you so. You know what I mean? And that's the powerful part of learning. Learning comes from your missteps, not what you read. And that's where Christianity runs into a brick wall. You got a whole bunch of head knowledge people. You know, they read the book backwards and forwards. They remember every verse. There's a guy who remembers whole chapters, you know. But he ain't lived nothing. He ain't never went through nothing, man. But, look, D.A., man, I appreciate you guys, man. I love you. Y'all hold it down. And I'm going to do my best to call him tomorrow, man. I am.
Okay.
But just wanted to let you – I just wanted to check in, man, make sure you guys –
Thanks. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it for that, friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, brother.
All right, take care.